You ready for the word this morning? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's get started. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, Father God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. How many know Jesus became sin at the cross? He didn't just pay the price to wash away our sins. He did that, but he became a sinner at the cross. Amen. He provided for us a great exchange. Our sin for his righteousness. It says, who knew no sin, that we, us, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was made a sinner at the cross so that everyone who believes in the cross and calls upon his name can be made, recreated, regened spiritually righteous. When you were saved, God took out your heart of stone. He put in a heart of flesh, and now you are a new species of being that did not exist before the cross. Let me say that again. You are a new species of being that did not exist before the cross. You are a human with a nature. You're in a human body with the nature of God on the inside. God put his very nature in you. Amen. So we are not who we used to be. We used to be sinners. Now we are saints. Do you find it hard to say, that just to say, I'm a saint? You know, you got to watch who you say it around, don't you? Go around the, you know, your regular church group, you know, and say, I'm a saint. Oh, my goodness. They'll be ducking for lightning coming out of heaven to hit you. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're Mother Teresa? No, I don't even know. She's born again. I'm born again full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to attack Mother Teresa. I'm just saying, you know, we're not saved by good deeds. We're saved by the new nature, right? In fact, go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. Can we have some fun this morning? Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, I hear Christians quote this often. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner. All my righteousness is just filthy rags. Well, he was talking about pre-cross. He was talking about somebody not born again. He was talking about trying to be saved by your own efforts and works. And there's nothing you can do of yourself to save you. You needed somebody to act as intercessor for you, as go-between, to bring to you what you could not possess of yourself. And Jesus through the cross gave us his nature. So you used to be filthy rags, and now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to do a bit of a teaching example this morning and give you just a visual. Can we do that? Let me grab something here. Oh, that's a pretty one. Hallelujah. Let's see if that'll stay. Where it says filthy rags, in fact, I want to put it in this context. What are filthy rags? I mean, what are they filthy with? I mean, if you got a rag at the house, I mean, I've got a garage full of rags. They got to get really bad before I pitch them. Amen. I mean, just if they're just dirty, they'll go in the washing machine. But sometimes they get so bad, I can't even put it in the washing machine. I mean, it's covered in grease or, you know, oil, something. Patty would shoot me if I put that in the washer. Amen. So usually I'll take a bunch of them, put the really dirty ones on the inside, and put it all at once in the washer myself. But, along with her delicates. And, what are filthy rags stained with? I want to give you a mental or visual example this morning. I want to present to you, what if our filthy rags is really toilet paper? Used toilet paper. I mean, really, that's what we used to be. We used to be used toilet paper compared to who we are now. Are you getting this image?
Yes.
Well, I just think that's a ridiculous example. Well, go over to Philippians chapter 3. I'll show you where I get it. Philippians 3. Have you got it? Go to verse number 7. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He says, everything I've accomplished in the past, all my religious degrees, all my appointments, all my promotions, he says, I count them but loss. They're nothing compared to what I got through the cross. He says, "For whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He says, I count everything of my past but dung. Therefore, his efforts were but dung. Therefore, filthy rags, I believe we can equate to toilet paper. Use toilet paper. Now, I'm going somewhere, so y'all bear with me. Don't get grossed out. But I brought some. Let's see here. I need a volunteer. Adam, would you just reach in this thing here and grab that out? I knew you would do it if I didn't get back too soon. Oh, yeah, come on. The curse of channel locks. Oops! Oh. Oh, yeah. Is anybody enjoying this? This used to be me. That used to be my nature. Let's read on in that passage. Look at verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which was but dung, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his image." This used to be me. Now, it's not the real thing, you understand. Alma almost locked me out the back. I was getting some dirt out back. She saw the door and was about to shut it. And I'm going, no! I was going to walk around the building. This used to be me. And none of us would think of touching that, you know, if it was a real thing. Cleaning the house with it, offering it to anybody as a gift. You know, here's something of great value, box it up and send it. Amen. I have heard of people lately boxing up all their dog stuff out of the yard and putting it as like it's a UPS box on the front porch. Because people are stealing so many boxes. So they sent them home with, you know. That used to be me. That used to be you. Well, not me. If you don't recognize that used to be you, you don't recognize how depraved you were with a sin nature. And you really thought you were a good person or a nice person before you got saved. You were made in the image of sin. And you may have learned to do some nice deeds and have some compassion towards people, but the truth is, compared to the image of God and the nature of God, it was but toilet paper. Now go over to Revelation. Chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Do you recognize that we are that wife? This is talking about Jesus being the groom. And we are the bride of Christ, and we have got to be willing to make ourselves ready. You can't come to Jesus as you are. Even if you've been born again, there's a preparation work required. Amen. We're going to get to that in just a second. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And here's what's going on. When you were saved, you exchanged your toilet paper, used toilet paper nature. We'll call this fine linen. You exchanged it for this as your garment. How do I look as a bride? Cast it down. You exchanged your fallen nature for a pure nature. And now you're beautiful. Now you're pure and white. Now you've been cleansed by the blood and made new by the resurrection. And you are now in God's image, recreated, regened, reborn the righteousness of God in Christ. But here's the problem. Turn to Job. Job 29. I feel like I about lost half of you when I just pulled out the cooler. I'll do what I have to get your attention. Job 29, verse 14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Now here it says, through righteousness, your judgment no longer becomes hail. It becomes this robe of righteousness. And a diadem, a granting of authority. Through you understanding who you are in Christ, you get to come before God boldly without spot or wrinkle. Friday night, at all night prayer, I was laying I was on the couch at the time, just in worship to God and praying and bringing my petitions, and it rose up in me to come boldly before Him. And I could envision myself coming into the throne room of God and laying before Him the needs we have through righteousness, not of my own goodness, but through what He granted to me through the cross. Do you see this? So it says to put on righteousness. Now, here's the problem we have. When you got saved, remember our example we've done in the past? We're going to call over here the world system. Over here is the realm of the kingdom of the world. Over here is science, man's strength, man's ability, man's charisma, everything man can do. The realm of the flesh, also the realm of the curse and sin. Also the realm of the of Satan's operation. Over here, we call this the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, which we have access to now if we're born again. And over here is healing. Over here is prosperity. Over here is your family saved, your marriage blessed, your children serving God. Over here is every blessing God has to provide. No fear, no death, no anxiety, no oppression, no heavy weights. Over here is joy unspeakable, full of glory. In this kingdom realm. And the further you move into the kingdom, the more of it you can experience. But understand, God says, my people, even those born again, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what you don't know, you can't apply. So here we have a problem. Here we have sinful man, with his used toilet paper nature. And he could do nothing. There is nothing he can do to open this cooler to get rid of that nature. For those listening by tape, I put the toilet paper in a little bitty cooler because I didn't want to carry it by hand. There's nothing you can do to remove, open your heart, your chest, and get your old sin heart out. There's no good works you can do that will clean it up. I challenge anybody to take this toilet paper out of here and try to clean it. How many of you recycle your toilet paper at home? I mean, there's a reason we came up with Pampers, because the cloth things, it wasn't much fun to deal with them, right? People just prefer to throw that away and be done with it. But there was, and hey, I don't care. You know, I grew up in a time where there were no Pampers. Kids go like, there was a time like that? You had to wash those things out. But I'm telling you, there wasn't enough you could do to wash them that they ever really came clean again. They never looked brand new. And I'll tell you what, I never took one that had been cleaned. I don't care how many times you washed it and decided I'm going to use that to dry my hands with or as a handkerchief to wipe my face. They said, no, I know what that's been used for. There's nothing you can do to get it back to new status. Clorox doesn't make enough bleach. And so you're carrying around this sin nature. And because of the sin nature, you have no access to God. You try to go before God, you try to enter the kingdom, and you're going to bounce right off of that because this sin nature cannot come before the holiness of God. And because of it, you had no access to the blessings of the kingdom. You had no way you could freely come in and live in that realm. Why? Because the nature of sin blocked you from heaven's best. Do you see that? And no good works you could do could ever deal with what's on the inside of this box. So instead, what you did is you came to this place called the cross, a transition point, a portal, where you came and you said, Jesus, I've got this problem. I want to come before you, but I've got this cooler. And what's in it is not presentable to you. What's in it is preventing me from coming before you. Can you help me with this problem? And Jesus says, yes, I've already paid the price to discard that. We're going to throw that one in the dumpster. And through the cross, I'm going to give you a brand new heart, a brand new nature. And that new nature is the white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. And it gives you a brand new garment, a brand new nature. And he says, now you have free access to me with that garment. But the problem is, most people, most Christians, never realize they have to put it on. They keep it folded up in the box. In fact, most of them don't realize they have it. They're still trying to enter with, even though they've got it, they think it's still a dirty one they've got in a box they're trying to carry around. Because they think they have a sin nature, they still can't come before God like they want to because condemnation is blocking the route. And even those that have come to the realization, even in here that have found out they are no longer a sinner, they are now a saint, have never taken time to put on this garment. So they're walking around like this, wanting heaven's best still, but you can't get in unless you're wearing the garment. So it says in Job, I put on righteousness. You've got to take time to clothe yourself with this. I need a lady up here doing this so I don't look so stupid. At least we're not filming this morning. You got to take time to put this on. Looks better as a cape for me, doesn't it? Holy man. You've got to put the garment on. Well, Pastor Jack, I want to put the garment on. How do you put the garment on? You put it on by faith. You put it on by getting those confession cards of righteousness promises that you are a new creation. And you confess those verses into your life until something happens that this revelation gets down inside of you and you know you're a saint. You're not just saying it through a hollow hope. You're saying because you know you've been touched by God. You know you're not who you used to be. And you've got so much faith in who you are that condemnation can't hold you out of the blessings and promises and presence of God. Remember, we started this series talking about condemnation, meaning being the blocker to your blessing, blocker to your faith. So if you want to go in, you've got to go in because it's a righteousness of faith. You've got to go in having built faith in who you are. And until you do, you're walking around carrying it instead of wearing it. And if you're just carrying it, it doesn't do you any good. Do you follow me? Somebody will say to you, somebody will say, well, you're just a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm righteous. And you hold it up, but you're not wearing it. In other words, you know you possess it, but you've never taken time to build it into your life that you know it's you. Because condemnation is subtle. It comes in and tries to seep in and say, you know, you just haven't been spiritual enough lately. You know, you haven't prayed enough. You haven't been in the Word enough. You haven't fasted enough. Oh, you know, you had that meltdown the other day, or you had that bad day. You're going, yeah. And next thing you know, here comes oppression. Here comes heaviness. Because condemnation opens the door to fear and oppression. Next thing you know, you're walking around like others, and you're not enjoying life. I was reading a comment by somebody the other day said they just didn't feel like getting off the couch. What's what oppression does? Not that you're sick, but the heavy weight of oppression. I just don't want to get out of bed. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like going to church. That is the result of not wearing your righteousness. Imagine like this. You've been invited to a special event, and I don't know the name of any fashion designers. If I said a name, you'd say, well, they died 25 years ago. I don't know. Levi Strauss. That was like 150 years ago, wasn't it? And you've been invited to a special event, and you've got the number one fashion designer in the world has designed you an outfit, a gown or a suit, depending on gender or which one you think you are anymore. Yeah. They've designed you an outfit. The best designer was designed your outfit. And you just don't want to go. I'm getting off. If somebody designs me a special, I'm going. I don't care how bad I feel. I'm going. If I can go in their style, I probably don't do that very well, but you know, you're going to put your best strut on. Roll out that red carpet. Look what I'm wearing. And we don't get pride involved, but guess what? That when you have an opportunity to show what God's done for you, you want to show it off. Because see, the best designer in the world doesn't touch what God will clothe you in.
That's right.
Amen? Not even Solomon was clothed like one of these. You follow me? And we're clothed better than any bird. We're clothed in heaven's best. And you've been invited to the marriage supper. You've been invited to demonstrate His glory to the world. And if you don't feel like getting off the couch or out of bed, then apparently something has come to you and robbed your revelation of who you are. More likely, you've never really built your faith in it. What I'm telling you is true. You have got to be willing to take some time and confess these verses into your life that you know who you are. Otherwise, you'll go around frustrated. Here's what will happen. You'll walk around feeling dissatisfaction in yourself because you've not attained to what you know you're capable of doing through Him. And so what will happen is you won't feel like getting out of bed or off the couch, and then you'll beat yourself up for it. Well, you could be doing so much more. Amen. And it all comes down to, if you've been born again and you're like you're fighting, or just the oppression, like I just don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like doing anything, you have fallen prey to carrying your garment instead of wearing your garment. And it requires you taking some time and getting those verses out. Just two or three of them. You don't, hey, I forget how many righteousness verses are in the Bible. You don't need all 400 of them. All it requires is getting two or three verses and spending some time to work it into your life, like you do with healing. Any promise, and work it in. All of a sudden you know, I got this baby on now. And I can soar with this thing. But I'm going to call it my cape. Glory to God. If Jesus wants to put a veil on me later, he can do it, but I ain't wearing one right now. This is my superhero cape. And I put it on, I can do anything. Nothing shall be impossible unto me. And God gave it to me free in exchange for toilet paper. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Do you ever wonder what he does with all that toilet paper, all those old hearts? I believe he sends it back to hell with the devil. Here, you started this, you can keep it. Amen?
Right.
Yet you lose something. Tag, you're it. We have got to be willing to put this on. Let's go to some other verses. Go to Acts chapter 10. Well, I don't want to go there yet. Hang on. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, here's a question I ask it every once in a while. Who knows what the word gospel means in the Greek? What's that mean? Most people believe it means the good news. It doesn't. If you will look at, read an old Vines or other expository, they will say, the word for gospel is commonly interpreted good news, but originally it meant the rewards of the good news. But Bible commentators, translators for years, could not comprehend that God would give you rewards through the cross, shortened it to good news. It actually means the rewards tied to the good news. God wants you to come and experience all the blessings of the kingdom. Amen. His hand is not shortened that he cannot bless you. But you've got to be wearing the garment. It says, "For it is the power of God, the dunamis power, unto salvation." That word salvation, I believe that's soteria. It means sozo life and manifestation. You are blessed in every area of your life. "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein," verse 17, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now we're going to come back to this in a bit, but let me pause here for just a minute and say, your righteousness revelation, the realization of who you are and faith in it, is a developmental process. Because it's not automatic. It goes from faith to faith. God revealing to us through incremental revelation being released what he wants to do with the church in the last days, but he's also revealing to us who we are. And the more you will go from faith to faith in his revelation, the more of his blessing and rewards you can access. Again, I mentioned this last week. After a person is born again, their assignment from that point on is to spend the rest of their life finding out exactly what that happened, exactly what happened at that moment in time. You were recreated. I went 10 years as a Christian before I even found this out. Nobody told me. For 10 years, I thought my sins were just washed away. And we were using our faith for things even then. I was getting healed even then. But we thought our sins were washed away. When I found out I was made a new creation, things just got so much easier and enjoyable. And prayer became so much more of a delight versus feeling like you had to crawl to God, cry, get on your hands and knees, go to the altar, you know, and, oh God, please bless us. When I found out I can come boldly before Him through this right nature, right standing with Him. However, it is a building process. And I believe it's our assignment never to stop building more faith in who we are in Christ. I mean, a lot of people, when they find out they're righteous and they're putting on their, you know, their outfit of righteousness, oh, nobody get offended. But even people that find out start to work and half of them look gangsta. Because their pants are down to here. And they're walking like this. You know what I'm talking about? Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Does anybody remember that one? American Idol. That was hilarious. Anyway, they're trying to put it on, but they never spend any time really working it. So they're trying to, you know, run around with their righteous outfit on, but they haven't taken time to pull it all the way up, to clothe totally with it. And God wants us to get so clothed in righteousness, there is not an area of our body that condemnation can sneak in. I've had the opportunity to ride in the rain on motorcycles many times. Many times. And so I carry on my motorcycle almost all the time a rain suit. I've got a rain suit, top and bottom. I've got rain boots. I've got gloves. Because if you've ridden in the rain before, you've discovered it doesn't matter how good your rain suit is, if there's the smallest opening, gallons of water will get into it. You know what I'm speaking about? I mean, if you're riding and there's one little crease here where, you know, maybe stuff isn't sealed good, it's amazing how all this section of your body will get wet. Because it just gets in there in a rain on the motorcycle. So you learn to inspect to make sure everything is covered. Where no water can seep in, right? And you can even snap up here and put stuff over your head and everything, you know, a helmet. And you can actually, I mean, Pastor Carter, when he rides in the rain, he gets off, there's not a drop of water on him. I believe he practiced putting his suit on at home. Amen? He rides so much, it's like, oh yeah, I ain't getting wet. The sun can be shining, middle of the day, 90 degrees. And if he sees a drop of, a bird flies over and urinates. He putting a rain suit on. Y'all bear with me. It's going to be one of those days. And you start with dirty toilet paper. Where can you go from there? Here's the point I want to make. If you don't learn to put on your righteousness outfit, any place you don't cover, condemnation will get in. And it'll make a whole lot bigger mess than you think it will. I mean, you'll get soaked in condemnation. Guilt, shame, offense, fear, all the result of not having clothed yourself. And it takes time. You know, I'm one of those. Mike will tell you because he rode with me in a rainstorm about a year and a half ago. I'm not putting the rain suit on until I'm already half wet. I'll just go, in Jesus' name, those clouds will part. And tell you, we rode back from Tennessee with that rain, didn't we?
One day it did.
And I've seen them part for me. Well, that two times you've been with the clouds apart. That day we rode to Indiana, rode all day, never got rain on that one time. We stopped and put the suits on. The point is, it takes time to put the suit on. So I don't like to take time for it. You know, Pastor Callan preached a message when we had that United Church Day. And he said, he made the statement, he says, some people forget to eat. He says, I don't identify with that mindset. He says, I can't imagine forgetting to eat. Well, he was talking about me. He told me he was talking about me later. I went all day yesterday. I ate a little bit in the morning, and I forgot all day to eat until night. I forget because I get to doing something. And then when it's time to eat something, I don't eat. I don't want to take time to eat. So I'm going to grab a handful of olives. That was last night. Something fast so I can keep doing what I wanted to do versus have to stop and make a meal. That's why God made wives, and she was gone last night. So to make the... Just kidding. That's why God made Vienna sausage with pop-top lids. Canned octopus. Oh, that is so good. Made myself hungry right there. When you chew it, it kisses you back. On the inside of your mouth. Anyway. It's going one of those days, isn't it? Come to... Did I mention we've got David Barton videos tonight? I forget to take time to eat because I don't want to stop what I'm doing. And I don't want to stop when I'm riding to put a rain suit on. But I'm telling you, you got to be willing to stop what you're doing in the day and put some righteousness in. You've got to put this righteous suit on because condemnation will soak you. And then you wonder later, you know, a day or two later, why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so blue? Well, you're in Kentucky. I'm sorry. Kentucky blue, right? Again, here we go. The reason you feel blue, because somewhere along there was an opening in your garment and the devil slipped in. Doubt who you really are. Fear that you've let God down. Shame that you've not answered your high call. Whatever it might be, and you've got to be willing to say, no! I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But Pastor Jack, you don't know how much I've messed up in the past. Well, God does. And he's got a garment that'll take care of all of that. You can start now. You can start now to have a new beginning. You want to hear about somebody that wasted time? I didn't get saved till I was 30. It's been like 7-8 years now. Or more. It's been a while back. I've now lived more than half my life as a Christian. But when I think about those early years before I was saved, and I share some stories with you, you talk about canned stupid. I mean, I was plumb ignorant. I mean, it's the mercy of God, I'm still here. Drunk on motorcycles, running in places I had no business being. Wasn't even qualified to be as far as just God's mercy. And so I didn't start till I was 30. But God's made up for lost time. If you'll apply yourself, God will give you a new start. And it starts with putting on this garment. You're not going anywhere without this garment. You're not going very far at all without the garment. You've got to find out. First, you got to receive it and get born again. Then you got to put it on. So we see here that we're to clothe ourselves with the garment of righteousness. I want to take a little bit of time and go to some other verses in Scripture dealing with garments. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Are you getting anything out of this? I said canned octopus. Everybody wants to get to lunch, right? It's actually better than sardines and even the smoked oyster. It's kind of a tie between that smoked oysters. Matthew 22. Now nobody wants to go eat. Chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now who's the king? Father God. Who's the son? Jesus, right? Now we know Jesus is king, but in this parable it's representing Father God. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. There's a whole bunch of denominations that think they already have what they need and won't come. A whole bunch of lost people think there is no God or have convinced yourself of that. Won't answer the call. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, apparently this marriage is going to be a feast, right? We've heard of the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. In other words, they went back to their jobs, back to their careers. Didn't have time for the church stuff. And the remnant took his servants. In other words, not the church remnant. I mean, not the revival remnant, but the remnant of those that weren't in the first group. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Killed the messengers. Killed Isaiah. Right? Killed Peter and Paul and James all the way through except for John. Killed them. Killed many of our revivalist founders. We've heard about that in the David Barton video some. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is right ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. He says, the wedding's ready, the feast is ready, but the ones we invited, they weren't worthy to come. Probably didn't have on the right garment, right? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. A cape, not a veil. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In other words, he didn't have an argument. He couldn't say, well, I've been a good person. I've tried to be nice. I've done a lot of good deeds. I went to church. Those arguments weren't flying. He had nothing to say. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few chosen. It's more. Just recognize there is a marriage. There's a preparation. The bride has made herself ready, right? And so it says, where's your wedding garment? You've got to have... Oops, I just became undressed. Notice I didn't fly during that time. You've got to be clothed with this garment. Go to Jude chapter 1. Well, the only chapter. And this is all one long passage. But talking about those that despise authority, that try to sneak into your wedding feast, into your feast of love. Verse 12 says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice did plucked up by the roots. Hang on a second. Yeah, I would write down the wrong verse. Hang on a second. There it is, verse 22. And if some have, talking about us, if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. As you work righteousness revelation in your life, something else happens within you supernaturally. You start to be able to recognize what you're doing in faith versus what you're doing out of your own efforts. You start to recognize what you're trying to do to earn favor with God versus you just step into the favor of God because you know who you are. Do you follow me on that? And you get where you hate the flesh manifesting in your life. When you try to earn anything from God of your own effort, it starts to spot your garment. God wants us to live by faith, not by works. And most Christians that have even may have a little bit of a revelation that they are a new creation. Most are still walking around trying to earn favor with God. Walk in love and walk in good deeds and walk to honor God. But there's nothing you can do to earn favor with Him. Amen. Nothing you do to make your garment whiter. And flesh spots your garment. And so many Christians are walking around with stained clothes. Luke chapter 8. I threw this in just to show you the possibilities of this garment. Verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, Jesus, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. This is the woman that continually said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, what kind of garment do you think Jesus had on spiritually? Righteousness. When you can get a hold of the revelation of who you are, you will become a magnet to people wanting to touch you, wanting to receive from you. And when you have on that garment, remember when she touched his garment. It says virtue flowed out of him into her and she was healed, made whole. When you get a hold of wearing that garment, I guarantee you the anointing will flow out of you. Because you get a revelation that you're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, you will recognize I'm therefore also as anointed as Jesus. I've raised all the power and blessing that Jesus walked in. This garment is vital to go where we want to go. But you got to put it on. I need to speed this up. Mark chapter 13, it talks about at the end times. I'm not going to turn there for the second time. At the end times, the man in the field, when the end comes, don't even return to the house for his garment. Leave that old flesh garment behind. Put on the new. Mark chapter 10. This is one of the most valuable lessons you'll learn if you'll apply this. It will change everything for you. You got to get out of the mindset, well, I'm just me. I'm just doing my best to live life as a nice person, and I love Jesus. There's a place you got to say, I'm going to put on this garment to possess all that He has for me, to accomplish all He's assigned me to do, because without it, you can't. Without working us in, you won't. Are you following this? Mark chapter 10. And verse number 50. Well, let's back up. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus had a revelation who Jesus was. He recognized him as more than just a healing evangelist. He recognized him as the Messiah, the prophesied son of David. And he's hollering it out to everybody. Don't you know the religious leaders love that one? And Jesus stood still. I believe he stood still because somebody recognized who he really was. Not just because he was crying out, but somebody was calling out who he really was. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, we've preached it before. He cast away his garment that identified him as a beggar. Do you follow me? They had a garment they would carry that recognized they were a beggar. Or identified them as a beggar. And when he got up, he knew he was about to be healed by the Messiah, the Son of God, Son of David. And knew he would no longer need that garment. And cast it aside and went and received his healing. It was a step of faith. He took a major step of faith and he was made whole. But also, that garment is the garment of flesh. And he set aside that garment knowing he was about to get a new garment through the impartation he was going to receive. You've got to be willing to put off the old to receive of the new. See, there's a subtle effort of the enemy, and he'll come in the background of your thoughts, and he'll say, you know, praise God for the cross, but you never were really that bad of a person. You never killed anybody. You know, you never did rob a bank. You never been to prison. Some of you may have, but some of you may have done it all. But to try to tell you, you really weren't that bad of a person. You were always kind of nice. You were considerate. And he's trying to get you to put back on that old garment. Then he's trying to get you to put back on this thing where you think you didn't need the cross as much as maybe some other people. We all needed it equally. Because toilet paper. I don't care which toilet it came out of. I don't want it. I don't even care if it's Charmin or the generic version. It's still toilet paper. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Someplace I want to get here in closing today. Matthew 9. Well, I've written the wrong verse down again. I was flipping, reading a verse and going over and typing them in, reading and going back and forth. I'll just quote it. Jesus taught this. It's probably in Mark. I probably done Matthew by mistake. Jesus said this. He says, no man seweth a piece of old cloth on a new garment. You can't patch the old to the new. Just throw the old away. Verse 16, burn it, dispose it, flush it, put on righteousness that will clothe you and allow you to access the judgment of having every blessing of God manifested in your life. Amen? Now, with that in mind, turn back to Romans chapter 1. I said we would go back there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 again. Well, let's go straight to verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Remember, we're talking about this understanding of who we are. It's a faith ascent into stepping into the fullness of it. You got to keep building your faith in who you are. Work the word into your life from faith to faith. But then he says, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Just shall live by faith, right? Where do we know that passage from? Can anybody tell me where that passage comes from? Where is it written? Oh, come on now. How long have you guys been in here? Where is that passage written? Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 4. For the vision is yet for a appointed time, but then he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it shall not tarry. Verse 4, that was verse 3, verse 4. For he whose soul is lifted up in him is not upright, or is not right in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And verse 14 tells the vision, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What Paul is telling us here when he says it is written, that those who get a hold of this revelation of righteousness, the word just there means righteous. Those who get a hold of this righteousness revelation are the ones going to the glory. The one who elevates his soul is the one trying to do it himself and be good enough himself. But the one who recognizes there's a righteousness revealed through the cross that we can access by faith is the one that God says, I can take him into my fullness. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 is tied to the glory. This revelation of righteousness. See, here's the thing. I'm out of time, so I'm trying to rush this in. I'll make a few points. We'll pick it up next week. When you got saved, you received the nature of righteousness, right? What's another word for that nature of righteousness? Love. God is love. You received his nature of love. The nature of righteousness and the nature of love are synonymous or the same. And how many know as we go from love to love, we go into the glory. Glory is manifest a tangible love. So as you go from faith to faith and righteousness, you go to love, you go into the glory. We don't go to the glory without this understanding. And having taken time to put it on. Now we're gonna stop there in this for today and pick it up next week this part of this topic. But we're gonna find out next week that the glory of the Old Testament doesn't even compare to the glory of the New, because he did not have this garment available. Thank you, Jesus. Can you see where we're going? There had to come a time where the Messiah had to be born. And there has to be a time that the church moves into the glory. And I believe the roller coaster is over the hill. It's time to put on righteousness. Step into the fullness of the blessing God has for us. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you to seal it within us. Cause us to be willing to take the time to shut off the TV and take those verses out. We got the cards in the back. And work those into our lives till we know who we are in Christ. We're no longer struggling, we're soaring in the things of the kingdom. I thank you. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some necks and show the love of God. Be blessed.